You're at home, relaxed as can be. Your baseline emotional state, pretty good. A reminder notification fires on your phone, reminding you to buy some milk at the nearby CVS in your neighborhood. You head there, and as you walk in, your emotional state changes. It shifts in response to the glances of other people in the store. You think to yourself just how annoying it is to easily absorb people's energy. You think to yourself, is there a way out of this? I can't live my life like this. This is constant and annoying. Well, you've come to the right place. Go get some popcorn or a snack. And let's talk about forming a strong frame that better counteracts the energy of other people. Today we're talking about how to stop absorbing the energy of other people. This is something a lot of people deal with when it comes to interacting with others, and sometimes even projecting certain conclusions people have about, you know, about them. And that creates a internal energy change within the person. So this video is going to be big in demystifying how to approach this, right? How to not absorb people's energies as much, whether in social interactions, after you talk to people, as you're walking about, so on and so forth. A lot of the things I talk about in this video is going to be deep stuff. So take a pen and paper out if you want to take notes and really ponder this, right? This may be a video you may need to watch more than one time just because the amount of information we're going to get into. But nevertheless, I'm excited. So let's get into it. Firstly, what is absorbing people's energy to begin with? What does this even mean? Well, it's being affected intellectually or emotionally by what others do, whether it's what they say or what they behave like. And sometimes it's not even necessarily something they do, it's from a projection you're making about them. It's what you're projecting onto the person which causes you to energetically absorb the projection you made. For example, let's say you think that you're not that smart. Like, that's a belief that you have about yourself for whatever reason. When you're in a conversation, you say something that is false, right? Like the information you said was false, and the other person just corrects you on it. Like, it's a minor correction, like it's not a big deal. But now you think that they think you're not that smart because of the minor thing you were wrong about. You believe that you're not that smart, but you're projecting that belief onto them. And now you're affected by that projection. And now you feel bad about yourself again. You get this like inferiority complex about yourself because of a projection you made about yourself onto that person. From there, yeah, your energy shifts, your internal state shifts. That right there is a clear example of how this thing works with a lot of people. It's not always necessary what the person is giving you outright. They're experiencing a certain emotion and then you're kind of taking that in and carrying it on throughout the day. Sometimes it's not that, just that. Sometimes it's a creation of the mind that you have. So now I want to talk about how the energy of others even affects you. What is the lasting effect that comes onto you by being affected by the energy of other people? Well, for starters, one often clear one is overthinking. When people contribute to you being in a different state of mind or to feel different emotionally, you may start to overthink. Other examples is feeling embarrassed. And I put that in quotes because I could talk for hours about embarrassment and how it's not what you really think it is. But continuing on, the energy of others can affect you in terms of you feeling like you're on the spotlight, right? This is something I referred to in my video on the imaginary audience, like this odd spotlight that you feel is on you, right? You walk into a place and you feel like it's the Truman Show or something, like people are just watching you. Next, feeling overly judged. When you take in the energy of other people, you feel like the spotlight's on you and you feel like these judgments are coming about, and thus that affects how you show up in the world. It affects things like posture and body language as well. Next, it can affect your quality of life, right? You may end up living a fraction of a life because of how the energy of others weighs you down. You may take less risk. You may voice yourself less often. And this really is a big cause of social anxiety for a lot of people. It's the energy they feel like they're going to pick up on when out and about. And that energy just doesn't stay in that given location. It comes with them and it gets carried out to other locations, right? So this is like an example of that energy absorption of others. Next, you may be overwhelmed or depleted, really exhausted after talking to people because you're out of your own frame. You're into the frame of the other person, and this causes you to feel just depleted energetically or just really overwhelmed by others. However, when you approach it from a very strong foundation of you being in your body and the other solutions I'm going to talk about later in this video, you'll find yourself being less overwhelmed, a lot less overwhelmed in social interactions, and a lot less, you know, affected by what people say and their behaviors or micro expressions and things like that. Staying in a relationship with someone that doesn't treat you well, that's another example. Because you fall into their frame of mind and everything, you're affected by their energy and you start to think that that's normal, kind of like a form of an emotional addiction. Like if someone's abusive and that really affects you, you start to almost identify with that abuse, like being abused, you start to identify being abused. That's how you view yourself. And it's what you become comfortable with, even though it's not good for you, it's what you're comfortable with. Another example is, you know, avoiding interactions with other people. Like maybe you're just not as social just because you have this common thing happens where people's just frames of mind and energies just get on you, right? Their emotional reactions, it just weighs on you and it's hard to interact with folks. And then lastly, you may find it difficult to distinguish your emotions from those of other people. That's a really big one. And again, I'm going to talk about an approach for that later in this video, but that's very common. One thing for you to understand is understand that you're falling into a frame or a state. Whether the state is clearly there, the state of mind and the energy is clearly there, or it's a projection. You're falling into that. Like you have your baseline state and you're being taken out of your baseline state into this new state. And in a sense, although it's subtle, you're kind of agreeing to do so. We have control over our internal state. A lot of people are just unconscious about this, and they easily fall into the frames and energies that people give them. And one thing to keep in mind is that it's important to believe in the frames that serve you, because if you end up just falling into any frame, and by frame I mean emotional state of mind or opinions or things that people give onto you, if you just fall into that willy-nilly, this is what causes people's energy to just manipulate you and just you becoming overwhelmed by attention and so many things. One frame of mind, for example, that could serve you is I am in control of my predominant state. I have a strong foundation of my predominant state. Now, with this frame of mind and you strongly believing in this, as you go about and you talk with people and you interact with the world, you have a strong core that doesn't get shaken by what others say, what they don't say, micro expressions, body language, etc. And I'm going to get more into this very soon. For example, let's say someone is emotionally dumping onto you, like they're just dumping their emotions and talking about their life and they're dealing with this and they're dealing with this and all this stuff. If you don't have a strong frame about who you are and if you don't have the ability to empathize with them without carrying all of that with you throughout your day, then you're going to be moved emotionally by their state. It's going to be transferred. In self-help, a common phrase you hear is energy transference, right? We humans are very social. We have these mirror neurons that mirror each other. And what we feel, the other person tends to feel. That's great for empathy. It's great for creating strong relationships. But the key here is to have a frame that helps you not believe that that's your genuine emotional reactions to the world. It's a frame that helps you come out of that situation still being yourself, still feeling like yourself, and not feeling like you're a completely different person. Now, I want to talk about how energy transference even happens. How does someone's emotional state even go to you? How does it even get absorbed to begin with? There's multiple ways. Number one is attention. Think of walking into a convenience store and then people look at you, like glance over at you really quick. The glancing over of the eyes, they say attention is energy. The glancing over of the eyes creates kind of spotlight effect. And now you feel like you have to be a little bit different. You have to act like a civilian and not yourself in that aspect because those eyeballs are watching. But people could be watching you for multiple reasons. Oh, they just want to see who came into the store. Oh, they like your shirt. Oh, you look like their cousin. Oh, it's just a habit they do. So this attention creates energy transference of a projection you may be having. So for example, if you're feeling insecure that day, you walk into the store and you feel like people see your insecurities. So it's a projection about yourself you're having onto others. It's like a mirror. So now there's this energy, there's this like fictitious energy transference that you created from someone else onto you. And now you're taking that in. Now you feel more insecure in public and more insecure. But again, it could be a myriad of reasons. Maybe they like your outfit that day, actually. Maybe you look like someone they know. Maybe it's just a habit they do when someone walks into a convenience store. Next, another way energy transfers is through conversation. Words that are said, information that is said, topics that are spoken about. If it's a heavy topic, that's a way that it could be transferred, right? Based on the topics you talk about, you could end up thinking about that topic later in the day and carrying it with you. So it's not always just emotional, it can be subject matter wise as well, like very logical stuff. And you could end up even like ruminating over things. Next, body language and facial expressions, right? We pick up on nonverbal cues. In fact, they say body language is 90% of communication. It is mostly nonverbal. Nonverbal cues are some of the most honest signals you can ever get from somebody. Eye contact people make, fidgeting, right? Whether someone leans back or leans forward, copying body, bodily gestures like crossing the arms, et cetera, to signify rapport. People's body language and their energy shifts can affect you in a given situation. Like you may think, oh, why did their face change? Why did their facial expression look like that? Or why did they look a little angry? Why did they look a little sad? And why did they laugh even? And sometimes how people say things as well that adds to the communication. And how they say things can affect the energy you receive. The energy behind the words takes a big effect on how it's received, not just the words themselves. And another way energy is transferred, of course, as I mentioned, is assumptions and projections. So a lot of times there's a mystery to why someone behaves a certain way or how people think. So a natural thing in human nature is that we try to fill in these gaps. We hate mysteries. We love to find out answers to things. People that like think of the person that loves mystery documentaries and all of that. They want to get to the end to find a resolution to the gap, to the curiosity. It's this curiosity bias. It's I need to fill in something here. There's something missing and it's annoying. I need answers. What is the mystery in social interactions, etc., whether it's from people you know or people you don't know? It's I don't necessarily exactly know what this person thinks of me. All I can do is look at hints in order to come to a conclusion, to fill in that gap. Whether my conclusion is real or false, I may not ever really, really know. But it serves something. It at least something is there for me to fill in that gap. So you don't know what a stranger is thinking about you. You don't think what a friend is thinking about you. You don't know what a significant other thinks about you. So it's an unsolved mystery. So you look at their body language, you look at what they say, you look at how they say things, you look at their emotions, you read that, and then you come to a conclusion. You come up with what their opinion may be based on clues, also based off past experience. But what happens is you end up emotionally absorbing whatever conclusion you make, and it's not like this conclusion is always this intelligent thing. Sometimes it's projections that you have about yourself, that you're like, if I think like this about myself, this person has to think about me like the same way. A lot of times we're absorbing the energy of a projection we have internally. And it's getting like, especially if it's on the negative side, it becomes heavier and heavier and it weighs on us. And then when we're out in public, we create the shortcut of everyone must think this way. And now you get overwhelmed and weighed down about yourself because you're assuming this thing. This is a huge bias. Because you truly never know what someone is truly thinking. It's such a waste of energy and thinking to try to figure it out. You will never truly know. You can only base it off of your assumptions. So if you're going to try to figure out what people are thinking about you, you might as well assume positive things until you're clearly shown otherwise. And then even if you're clearly shown something negative that someone thinks about you, so what? It's a perspective out of 8 billion people. What makes that transference of opinion so much more valuable than your own? How do you know you're absorbing other people's energy? There's a really simple way. It's when you feel an internal shift about yourself. You should have an understanding of your baseline internal state. How do you usually feel like just when you're by yourself? How do you feel when you're by yourself? Let's take that as a baseline. And then how different is that when you're interacting out in public, etc. Any environment where you can start to feel other people's energies, how different is that? That's a way to see if you are absorbing other people's energy. If it's really not that different, then awesome. One powerful thing about emotional intelligence is the more you develop it and the more you develop yourself, you can be in more environments where you don't you don't change within too much. You're not too shaken. Like who you are here is where you are, is the same person you are here, 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 here. And this doesn't mean you're always perfect, but it's better. In my video on emotional mastery, I talked about like how ravens are very adaptable to different environments, deserts, mountains, forests. It's like a version of being a raven. Going back to absorbing people's energies, yes, that's how you can tell. You look at your internal state when you're, by yourself, and you look at your internal state around other people. So if you feel a shift and it's just like put onto you somehow, you're not in your baseline internal state, then yes, you're absorbing something. And I'll talk more about this a little bit later. But first, I want to talk about empaths. Empaths are people that are highly sensitive to the affective or emotional states of others. They often intuitively understand the feelings of others, sometimes even before the person has communicated them. So they pick up on these cues very seamlessly and easily. And empaths feel it deeply compared to the typical person. So because they feel these emotions more deeper and how the other person is feeling deeper, what happens is that as they go about their life, they carry that with them. So they may feel guilt deeper, fear deeper. They may even feel joy deeper. So the range of emotions are felt deeper relative to the other person. It can help with empathizing. It's very powerful and it's very great. I'm an empath. And I noticed that from a young age that I was really able to feel how other people felt. But I also noticed that my empathic tendencies got in the way sometimes. And I was starting to take on over responsibility for the emotional states of other people. So what I did is as I worked on myself, I developed a different form of being an empath, which I like to call an evolved empath. An evolved empath is someone that sees the nuances of taking on the emotions and states of other people. I feel how this person's feeling in this moment. However, as I'm going about my day, my baseline state is not being affected by that afterward because that's going to throw me off. That's not going to, especially with, if it's more negative emotions. I don't want that in my life. I can experience them and hold space for them, but I don't want them in my life. So I won't allow it to be carried along. Also, this touches on emotional imposition, which I'm going to talk about. And I'll talk about a lot of things near the end of this video, but everything's going to tie together. With being empathic, although it's great for relationships and everything, it can lead to over responsibility. Now, you can help people with their problems, but their problems shouldn't be your burden. In fact, it's harder to help them if you're just as burdened with the thing that they're going through than they are, right? It may be harder to even give advice if you're in the exact same state they're in. Because advice, sometimes when you're giving advice, you have to go more meta and you have to experience other perspectives outside of what that person is experiencing. So, for example, let's say your friend's relative passed away. Very unfortunate. You have to remind yourself to stay strong internally, since that would probably help your friend go through that situation more easily. So they're very, they're in grief, they're very sad, etc., possibly crying, letting out that emotion. And you're feeling grief as well. However, to help your friend, if you can come out of grief, if you can experience grief, but also come out of it a bit and give them the silver lining or show them the end of the rainbow, so to speak, you're now giving them a newer perspective to embody. So you're empathizing, but you're giving them other alternatives to process, right? To see light at the end of the tunnel, to see that there are going to be better days. That's a good thing a friend could do in that given situation. So you don't want to overly take responsibility in a sense where you focus on the tree and not the forest. Quote, mirror neurons kick into gear in our prefrontal cortex, our area of the brain that also controls things like morality and planning around consequences. They encourage us to imitate others. So yeah, that goes into our human biology and how, empathy is just such a common thing we all share. But with empath, it's like an overdrive. But we want to balance that out. If you're an empath, you want to balance that out with being true to your own state. Now, how do we become an evolved empath? Let's list it out. First, you want to make a difference between being an empath and absorbing other people's emotions. I don't put this in the same category. Absorbing other people's emotions is a prolonged thing. Empathy is context-based in a given situation. And it has a cutoff almost. Not to say you're not empathetic after the conversation, but you're not carrying all of that emotional baggage with you long term. Being an evolved empath, you're feeling what other people are feeling, right? making room for that and holding space for that. But it's not in the in sacrifice to your own foundation and your own frame. Whereas when you're someone that absorbs what other people's emotions and energy, you're bringing it with you everywhere. So you're feeling grief in the situation, you feel grief at the grocery store, you feel grief constantly. It keeps reappearing. And again, it goes back to this sense of responsibility that we feel like we have to get these emotions imposed onto us. Now, before I get into solutions, let's cover some real world common scenarios where absorbing people's energies occur. Posting a social media story and feeling assumed attitudes about yourself even while you're off of it. So you post it, you get off the platform, you go about your day, and then every now and again it pops in your head what people think about your story and their attitudes about it and all of that and their emotional reactions about it. And now you've created the story in your head, and now you're absorbing that story you've created. And it takes you out the present moment, right? Let's say you're going for a walk. It takes you out the present moment. You're thinking about social media and your walk. And these attitudes that you come up with could be false. They could be completely wrong. But with your level of conviction, that literally doesn't cross your mind. So that's an example. Feeling de-stressed after an emotional conversation. That's a common one. Like if you're talking to a friend about a very emotional topic, you know, feeling that distress. And I'm not here saying like, okay, right after the conversation, like set a timer right after the conversation, right when the timer goes off, that's when you completely stop feeling those energies that you absorbed. No, it's gradual, of course, right? We're human. It's gradual. We're not robots. But always be mindful about how long that's carried with you afterwards. Next, geopolitical events and reacting how a good amount of people are about it. Let's say a given event is happening in the world and there's a group of people that feel a certain way about it. And now you're absorbing those attitudes and those energies about it. And throughout your day, it's like you're not even really focused on your life anymore. It's just this event that constantly nags at you. So those are some scenarios. Now let's get to solutions. How do we stop absorbing the energy of others? These solutions approach it both from a standpoint of people you don't know how to not absorb their energies and people you do know. So they apply to both. First, identify this energy absorption. Check your baseline emotions and notice how it changes when you walk into a place or when you talk to someone or when someone walks into a room. How much does it change? Do you get a little bit more nervous? Do you get feelings in your solar plexus stomach area? Perspiration. How do you change? And how long is that change? Do you not feel like yourself? The less your base state changes, the more you change environments, the more stable you are in your frame. So you go to a party, you go to church, you go to your friend's house, you go to a restaurant, you go to the grocery store. All these environments, you're still feeling like you're yourself in these environments. In the environments where you don't feel like you're yourself, look at that and then ask yourself why. One thing I always say to myself is that my baseline is peace. Peace is a very strong baseline to strive to stay in. For this topic, I reference David R. Hawkins' Map of Consciousness, also known as the State of Consciousness chart. If we look at this chart, we see that peace is really high up there. And it says the predominant emotional state is bliss, and so on and so forth. When you feel at peace, you feel really good. You feel very light, very expansive. But if you look down further in the chart, you see states like shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride. These are states that a lot of people in the population are in. A lot of people, overwhelming majority actually. A lot of people operate in these states and they aren't great feelings, right? You don't want to carry this around with you. It's good for empathizing in the moment in conversation with someone, but you have to consciously let them go afterward. So if you're talking to someone and they're experiencing fear, they're experiencing anxiety, etc., you empathizing with them, you put yourself in their shoes, you can give them advice on it, you can guide them. But after that, it's back to my frame, consciously coming back to who you are. Because if you don't, what happens? Their lower state, you start to get infected by it long term if you don't consciously come out of it. So you get affected by that frequency. It can affect your frequency. It can affect the reality you create, because we know as within, so without. We know that our internal state affects our external world. If we feel fear, then we're going to think in terms of fear. And that's going to be corresponded with us if it stays long term. if we're constantly in that state. So this affects our state of mind, it affects our reality. That's why we don't want to stay in it for too long. Another way to handle not absorbing people's energy is create an anchor. Another way to say this is a ritual of association. An anchor is something that's associated with something. So think of an anchor of a ship. It's on the floor of the water, and it's anchored down. It's down there, and it's connected to the ship, and it keeps the ships, you know, in a certain spot. This is big. I actually have a client in my identity resonance program, and he's an actor. And one thing that he's been dealing with is absorbing the characteristics, you know, thoughts and behaviors of the characters he acts out as. So his characters he acts out as bleeds into his everyday life, the characters he portrays. So the one thing that we're working on is creating an anchor of association. So an anchor of association related to his everyday life, and anchors of association related to the characters he portrays. So an example is like a candle routine. So before he starts to act, he blows out a green candle, and that is a ritual of association that he's going to get into an acting role. So he's separating who he is outside of acting, his actual self, from his characters. He gets into that, he acts, and then after that, he blows out a white candle, for example, to signify him coming back to who he truly is. So now he's creating a delineation between different thoughts and emotions, you know, his character's experience and what he experiences. Now, when he lives his life, he has a clear understanding of who he is and his predominant state. And when he's out of that, for some reason, he can think to himself, is this coming from genuinely me, or is this coming from a character that I'm portraying? I actually found a quote about this, and this person names this as ritualized separation, which I like that word too. Quote, after social interactions, consider creating a ritual to help put some space between you and what you may have picked up. For example, you can take a shower after an activity with large crowds. So what is this saying? The shower is a signifier that you're now back to who you are. It's taking you out of the previous stimulus, the previous interactions where you're absorbing the energies of people. And now you're creating that divided line. Now I'm no longer there. Now your mind shifts out of that. So this is used a lot. I know people in NLP use this to change their state. Anchors go such a long way. Anchors go such a long way. I mean, a common example I give is, think of the artist, think of a musical artist. Like in their everyday life, they don't always feel like performing. Like they get hungry, they get tired, et cetera, et cetera. They're doing different things outside of just performing. But when this musical artist is about to hop on a stage, what do they do before? They wear their performance gear, their performance clothing. And that's an anchor to get into the state of performance, to get into that flow state of singing their song, rapping, et cetera, et cetera. That's why these artists can be so vibrant and active on stage, but then in interviews, they're more quiet or more shy. It's like, it's a different experience. There are different anchors going on. Next, get into your body. So this deals more with dealing with people you know or you don't know. In public settings, focus on your body, focus within. Focus on the internal rather than the external. And this takes conscious awareness. If you're walking and you're focused in your body, in your frame, more than the person you're walking past, you're not going to be absorbing their energy, because your focus is within. It's on you. In public settings, your attention and focus is typically on other people. So what happens is you start to assume their thoughts without truly knowing what they are, and then you absorb that projection you made. Shifting your attention to your body prevents that, and it goes such a long way. In fact, what I do is I don't really look at people when I go out and about, unless I have a reason to. Like, I'm focused within, and I'm focused on walking straight, getting to my destination. And that right there, it's like, I end up not unnecessarily absorbing people's energy and all of that. You know, unless, you know, one of you guys see me on the street and you're like, hey, Jam, right? You call my name, and then I'm like, hey, what's up? And then we can talk. But if it's not that, or it's not something, you know, somewhat important, I have no reason to really look at other people. Next, build your frame. I talked about this in Understanding People 25, Social Frame. Your frame is your strong sense of self. Not in a sense where you're arrogant and all of that, but you just know yourself and you have this foundation of, I can take up space. I have a certain attitude about myself. I have a certain viewpoint. And it's a valid viewpoint and it can be here. One way I love to do this is through affirmations, where I'm pairing it with visualization and I'm visualizing myself having a strong frame. And these affirmations are around, you know, me knowing myself, loving myself. I set boundaries. Affirmations around the personality like this that helps create that core belief system that doesn't get shaken by the external world, doesn't get overly affected by people's energies. And building your frame helps you set boundaries. Here's a quote on boundaries. Quote, boundaries are firm lines that we draw to prevent others from making us feel emotionally drained or uncomfortable. Again, going back to that delineation, that boundary. Another thing for building your frame is meditation, not identifying with your emotional experience. Understanding emotions are things that you experience. They come and they go. But you don't identify with it as this is me. So when you're talking to someone and like, you know, you're feeling kind of like those lower states of like that lower state of consciousness, this is just an experience that can come and go. I can allow it to go. And meditation really helps with that because it's just there, you experiencing things, sounds, feelings, sensations, etc. Next, chill with the assumptions and be grounded. So you don't truly fully know what someone thinks. And we don't want our projections to be the things that backfire and we absorb. Approach it with less assumptions and less judgments and just be grounded in your body within. Next, sit in the unknown. This kind of ties back to not knowing what people think. Be okay with the unknown. Be okay with not knowing what people think about you. That's all right. It's an unknown. It's a mystery. So what? Lastly, avoid emotional imposition as much as possible. Emotional imposition is when people impose their emotions onto us and we carry it with us. We think we need to react like how they react, but it's not genuine to who we are. I did a community post about this a few days ago. Be mindful of how you genuinely feel, right? Journaling can help. Because when you understand your baseline state and how you genuinely feel about situations, you can compare and contrast that with how others feel. And if there's a difference there and now you're starting to feel how they feel a lot, they could be imposing their emotions onto you. And you feel like you have to carry that with you. So you have to spot those differences so you can separate your genuine feelings from theirs. And maybe sometimes it's a mixture. Maybe sometimes it's a mixture of yours and theirs. But at least you're now being aware of what's going on. Quote, when you notice heavy emotion, start by labeling what you're feeling. Labeling helps to bring us into a state of pause, which can help us to gain a little distance from the emotional experience for a moment. That's so big. But one thing what happens with people that may be empaths, for example, they may develop toxic guilt. So this sense of responsibility of taking on other people's emotions and letting that go may be like, you don't care about the person or whatever, which isn't the case. It's a warped way of thinking. Remember that people are responsible for their own state. Like you taking that on and feel like you need to think how they are or feel how they are for the rest of your life, it's like charging yourself a monthly bill that isn't even yours. It's like, whose car payment is this? Whose light bill is this? Like, whose mortgage is this? It's not mine. Like, this isn't my bill. I can empathize with you. I can give you advice on how to pay this bill, but it's not my bill. So afterward, I don't need to constantly pay this bill. That's taking away from my energy and myself because it's not my bill. This is the power of frame. And with a strong frame, we can deal with the energies of others with ease. Your life is completely ran by involuntary and second nature based behaviors. These behaviors have a huge bearing on how your life turns out. But you have some effect on these behaviors since you can encode the right beliefs using your subconscious mind. The Subconscious Secrets is going to completely change how you approach your self-improvement for the rest of your life.